tonight we're talking about relationships.
Oh! What's your name?
And so, you wish, right? We're not going to be talking about a dating relationship. We're not talking about necessarily specifically brother, sister, guy, girl relationships. We're just talking about how to have deep relationships with other human beings that have a heart that tick.
Come on.
All right, go with me for a second. You can't turn there, obviously. 1943. 1943, a guy named Andrew Maslow. Come on now. Andrew Maslow created a theory as well as a hierarchy known as the Maslow hierarchy. And what that established is that every human being has five basic needs, and they go from increasing need, okay? They go from, you know, what you really need to what eventually you need, but it isn't necessary to survive, okay? And so the top of that, the least necessary thing, is someone's sense of purpose. We'll get there, right? But before you get to your own sense of purpose and a mission for your life, something needs to be established before that. And so it's a pyramid, and you don't have to go visually with me, but the truth of it is that Maslow says the most basic need of every human being is for food, for air, and for water. So we all eat food right now, okay? Your basic need is being met, number one. The number two basic need is for protection. It's for shelter, okay? We need to have a place where we can go to bed and can sleep. Because we're not being attacked by wild wolves, right? We got to have that. The third most basic need before self-comfort, before your ego being met, the third most basic need that we need as human beings is for a sense of love as well as acceptance and appreciation. That is at the core of every human being, according to psychologists worldwide. We need relationships. Mm-hmm. God built us in our DNA, in our mind, and just who we are, is that we desperately need relationships. Mm-hmm. And if you're anything like me, I love relationships. We need and love relationships. Some of us have gone cold and gone cynic towards relationships. But the truth is, and who we are, is that we need relationships. Okay? But here's the interesting thing. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about how to build and go into deeper relationships. And instead of going into some good psychological, you know, some warfare and some information that was already produced, what we're going to do instead is we're going to go back to the creator of the man, to the creator of the woman, and the creator of relationships, and we're going to go to God's teaching on how to have deep relationships. Any relationship established outside of God's teaching, God's plan, is not the relationship that God designed. It might be a good friendship, you might have a lot of fun, but that's not the full potential of your friendships. So what we're going to do tonight is there is an old lesson that was done in 1988. And we sang the song today, and it was such a good sermon that they actually wrote Run to the Fight based off that sermon. There was 2 points. Run to the fight and hold each other tight. If it worked then, hopefully it works now, okay? So I've got 2 unoriginal title points, is that to have deep relationships, we gotta run to the fight. My second point is gonna be, we gotta hold each other tight. You guys want deep relationships? You guys want the genuine, the God-made relationships that we were destined to have. We got to do it God's way. Now in the Bible, open your Bibles over to 1 Samuel 14. We're going to Old Testament. Chapter 14. There's a man in the Bible who is my favorite unsung hero. Jesus is my hero. You gotta put him first. He's the son of God, right? Then you got David. David's clearly just a hero of all men. Then you got Paul, just this epic fighter in love with God. But then you have a guy who's kind of, we don't preach about a lot. We don't reference. But in 1 Samuel 14, we get a glimpse into who I believe is the expert, is the Old Testament expert of relationships. And he's my personal, one of my personal unsung heroes, Jonathan. Okay? So we're going to take a look and do a couple case studies on the life of Jonathan. And we're going to try and pull some relational advice from the life that Jonathan lived. You guys with me? All right. First point, run to the fight. You got to run to the fight. 1 Samuel 14. A little bit of context here. Saul is the leader of the Israelite army at this point. He's the king. But God is no longer... God's kind of opposing Saul because Saul is leading his people, but he's not leading them in a really good manner, okay? He's not doing it with God's help. And so in chapter 14 here, Saul and all of his people just got attacked by the Philistines. The Philistines took all of their weapons. They've got two swords for an entire army. Could you imagine that for a second? Two swords for an entire army. If you had two swords for an entire army, would you want to run into a fight?
No.
No. This is where the Israelites are at right now. And so you've got half of the Israelite army, or the majority of the Israelite army, with their king Saul, kind of moping under a pomegranate tree as the Israelite, as the Philistine army is approaching them. And they're sitting under a tree in the shade, kind of bummed. So let's jump into the passage here. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now, a detachment of Philistines had gone out of a mass out of the pass in Michmash. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Some of you guys do things and don't tell your parents, but this is a good thing, right? Saul was saying, "Now search for Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron." With him were about 600 men, among whom was Abijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest of Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez, and the other one was Senah. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, and the other towards Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." Verse 7, "Do all that you have in mind." His armor bearer said, "Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Hey, look, here we are. There's two of us and there's a bunch of you guys." "Look," said the Philistine, "the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes they were hiding in." The men in the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." Okay. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up using his hand and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, his armor bearer, followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in the area of about half an acre. It's a pretty powerful passage, huh? Look what that relationship does. They go into a enemy outpost and they chop up about 20 men in half an acre. When was the last time you did that, right? That's intense. So they go up there and they make something happen. Run to the fight. Relationships our relationships reach their fullest potential when we decide that we're going to run into the fight together. What is this fight? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul refers to Timothy. He says, fight the good fight of the faith. You know, Paul, it's not just an Old Testament idea. It's a New Testament idea as well. Is that, Timothy, you got to fight the good fight of the faith. So what is this fight we're talking about? We're talking about chopping off Philistines' heads? No. We're talking about the good fight of the faith. And this fight, this word for fight in Greek is called agonia. Sounds like a flower, but it's, you know, agonia, to agonize. So fight is agonize. So he says, agonize the good agony. Fight the good fight. And the truth is that God never put it in our DNA to fight these fights alone. This is an agonizing event, is to fight for our faith. But praise God that God didn't want you to do it by yourself. Some of the things that we fight for, it's not just the fight of the faith, it's the fight for our purity. It's the fight for the mission and the lost. It's fight for discipline, for maturity, for self-control, you name it. This is what we're fighting for, but we don't have to fight alone. Notice where Saul is, and notice where Jonathan is. Saul is under the pomegranate tree, taking it easy and chilling. But Jonathan decides, listen, we're going to run some fight. Because the truth is, when it comes to the fight's against Satan, the fight's against whatever, when it comes to the fight, either you are advancing forward or you are being advanced upon. There is no neutral ground. If you do not run to the fight, and sometimes we need help to do that, that's why we're doing it together. If you do not run to the fight, that fight will come to you and you'll come unprepared. Okay? So that's just a quick little point to consider, is that we need to run to the fight. But let's do this together. Listen to what the armor bearer says to Jonathan. He says to him, do all that you have in mind. I am with you, heart and soul. Go ahead and turn to the person next to you and say, do all that you have in mind. I'm with you, heart and soul. All right. All right, here we go. We're against relationships, but we as a people do not want to fall to Satan's schemes. These two men had victory, and I think a large part of their victory was between the two of them, there was an understanding that wherever you go, I'm going with you. Whatever you're doing, I'm doing with you. I'm with you, heart and soul. When we fight this battle of the faith, of the mission, of purity, and while you're trying to do that by yourself, when you've got somebody next to you and saying, let's do this together, oh my goodness. Victory is certain. Proverbs talked about that, right? Many advisors plan to see. When you've got somebody next to you doing it with you, there is victory that will happen. You know, I think about in ICMC, our International Campus Ministry Conference in 2015, we had a big one in New Jersey. They say it's in New York, but it was really in New Jersey. The Giants and the Jets play in New Jersey. We'll get it right eventually. So we had it in New Jersey, and I remember that one of the lessons was talking about the Christian American dream. And how, as Christians, we could think what we really want to do is that we want to, you know, hey, we want to become Christians, we want to be fired up, but then we want to, you know, get comfortable. We want to settle in, have an awesome wife, have a couple kids, you know, maybe baptize with neighbors, how you doing, right, have them over for dinner, have that, do a couple of things here and there, live a very safe life, retire, and then die. And at the time that I heard that message, when I heard that message, I was sitting under that pomegranate tree. I was taking it neutral, kind of my walk with God. And I heard that, and I go, I got to do something about this because this is not okay. I got to advance before I'm getting advanced upon. And so what I did, rather than running to the fight by myself, it was right after that ICMC lesson. I go and I scour the crowd of thousands, and I go, where the heck is Charles? And I found Charles. I grabbed that dude by the collar or whatever. We went up to the third floor of the parking deck. We went up to the third floor of the parking deck, and we just prayed. And we just cried. I remember crying like a baby because it was like, God, I just want to be used by you. Let's go do something. God, use me because I'm stuck. Help me, help me, help me. And Charles was there praying with me and encouraging me. And I'm like, dude, let's go to Walmart. Let's go to Walmart. And let's go get in a fight. And we didn't fight in bed at Walmart. We fought the spiritual fight at Walmart. We decided for 1 hour, we're going to go to Walmart and we're going to share with as many people as we can. And we're going to invite as many people as we can to church that Sunday. I got no idea what happened. I don't know who came. But the truth is, that's a memory I'm never going to forget with Charles. We ran into that fight together. We ran to fight for the mission. Some of you guys are running together to fight for your purity, running to fight for your, you know, your zeal and whatever, your faith, your salvation. When you run in the fight together, you will be bonded unlike anyone else. But if you fight alone, you're missing an opportunity to bond. Think about these guys, right? Think about these, you know, Jonathan and his young armor bearer. Oh my gosh, could you imagine post-slaughter? These guys look at each other, bro, I saw you take that sword and chop off that dude's head. I caught the head and I'm sick. And, you know, there is never going to be a time where Jonathan and his young dude don't think about that time. They're going to have those memories forever. And what's even cooler is that if you look further into the context here, is that these two dudes went up and killed 20 people, and then the entire Israelite army surged forward. Right. When you run to the fight together, you have the ability to inspire the rest of the ministry. Yeah, right. Yeah. You can get the rest of those maybe brothers and sisters who got their blocks on the ground because they're being lukewarm. Thank you, Kristen. Whatever. You can inspire those people because you made the decision, we're going to run to the fight together. That needs to be the thesis of our relationships. Amen? Amen? Think about this. If someone were to observe and to audit, you know what audit means? If someone were to observe and to sit in on your relationship with one of your best friends, if they were to come back to you, if they were to come back to the two of you, what would they say is the leading thing that bonds you guys? What is the leading thing that bonds the two of you? Would he come back and would he say, oh my gosh, these guys are so deep because together they're fighting for their faith? Or they look at the two of them, the two of you guys, and they would say, hey, you know, the thing that bonded these two the most, well, they talk probably the most about video games. Okay? That's probably their biggest commonality here. Or they go, okay, well, they always talked about classes. That's what they're all about. And they, you know, fear of classes and whatnot. Or what they got their assignments in, what grades they got. Were they talking about their interests? How you doing? You know? Let's talk about it. Was all they were talking about that guy or the girl that they're interested in? Is that the theme of your conversation? Does that dominate that conversation? Is it sports? Is sports the greatest commonality they would see between the two of you? Because the truth is, a relationship that is going to be bonded the way that God wants to bond us is when we are together running for the fight of the faith. When we're fighting for one another. When we're in it and go, I'm with you heart and soul, let's make this happen. Let me give you some practicals. I think the most simple thing that you can do is that in your conversations with one another, in the fellowship, today, as well as next week and Friday, whatever, make it your intentional goal to ask the people that you're talking to, what are you learning about in your relationship with God? Hey, what books have you been reading to help you grow spiritually? Hey, how are the Bible studies that you're in going? Or hey, what are your plans for Bible studies? What are you struggling in? What are you trying to grow in? The truth of the matter is, we invest in things that are of this world and are shallow, we're going to be reaping shallow relationships. But when we invest in things that are godly and are of a heavenly bound fight focus, we're deriving, we're getting back something so much more meaningful. Amen. Think about this one day. We're going to say this one day, and we're going to get a chance to look at each other and go, do you remember? Do you remember when we shared our faith with the entire cafeteria? Do you remember when you gave me your laptop to properly guard yourself from pornography? That was epic. Do you remember when we visited every disciple who was sick and gave them a gift basket and a card? Do you remember when we sold our headphones and our jewelry to pay for special and to donate to special contribution? When we run into the fight together and we do those things, we'll be doing things that our grandkids will be talking about. We'll be making memories that are going to bond us, that are going to last far beyond simply just our generation. We got to run to the fight together. You guys ready for that?
Yeah.
All right. Second point. Hold each other tight. Give the person next to you a hug. We'll do a little hug break. Come on now. Hold each other tight, baby. All right, come on. I knew that was dangerous. In this group. Hug each other after, that's okay. All right, 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. David and Jonathan. When we think about relationship, there's no greater example than David and Jonathan. It's inspiring. You know, one of our greatest needs are deep relationships, and we get to look at the deepest relationship there is of David and Jonathan. We can learn from that. To help you guys from going to be just friends to best buds, to fight the good fight together, we got to be willing to hold each other tight. I got four little points here. Brielle's going to come up and share a little bit.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I am okay in relationships. Brielle is the expert in relationships.
Yeah.
She has to share. She got me, right? So, 1 Samuel 18. We're going to look at four. I'm gonna bring you through four key points about their relationship that we need to try and emulate if we hope to have a deep relationship like this. We don't want shallow relationships. We want lifelong, serious relationships. Here are four things to consider. 1 Samuel 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And he loved him as himself. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. You know, intimate friendships, you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes on this, to study this out, and to meditate on this, because this is not going to do it with one lesson. This is going to do it through constant use and constant focus. Okay, I don't expect to change hearts only by this. We got to practice this and emulate this. So write it down. Intimate friendships are willing to sacrifice. You know, Jonathan steps forward and they become one in spirit. I mean, I don't even know what that means. That's awesome. They become one in spirit. And he goes ahead and he gives up his tunic, his sword, his belt, his bow, his robe. You know, what's crazy about this is that this, as I was doing some research about this, is that Jonathan was the son of Saul. Saul was the king. Therefore, Jonathan, in the process of a monarchy, Jonathan was likely then going to become the king. So he's the prince. And so with David, he was willing to take off his robe. And truthfully, the sword was the sign of power. And he gave up his sword for David. That's amazing. It's poetic almost. And the truth is that when we are fighting for deep friendships, we can't be stingy. Friends don't do that. You know, Jay said, I wrote my notes here, Jay. But Jonathan says, whatever you say, I'll do it for you. You know, it'd be cool if we turn and say that. But in your relationships, whatever you say, I'll do it for you. An intimate friend is there to help wherever and whenever the way is needed. You know, think about your relationships. One of the, you know, I was talking to one of the team workers in our church, and one of the team workers said that if you're going to love a team, the only way, one of the greatest ways to, okay, a team spells love, T-I-M-E. A team spells love, T-I-M-E. I think the truth is, in here, I think a lot of us spell love, T-I-M-E. Some of the greatest assets and resources we have is our time. And I want to ask you, in your relationships, are you willing to sacrifice your time for one another? Wherever and whenever for one another. If you're willing to go deep in those relationships, you can't be stingy with that time. Are you stingy? And can someone rely on you for support? Number two, intimate friendships require you to be a loyal defense. We're not a questionable friend. We don't talk about you negatively when you're not around. Intimate relationships, intimate friendships are built on the precedence that I trust my life to you. 1 Samuel 19 verse 4, basically it says Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father. David wasn't around, but Jonathan was so willing to speak well of David. I mean, Saul hated David. But he didn't give in to that. He didn't give in to his father's feelings about him. You know, it hurts so much, and I've experienced this, and I'm sure some of you guys have too. But it hurts so much, and potentially even ruin a relationship, if a friend goes behind your back and says something about you negatively. It's true. Deep relationships can't be based on that. Proverbs 16 verse 28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're not around your best friend and you're not around those who are your friends in general, how do you speak about them? Is there ever anything that comes out of your mouth that's not positive? Do you ever say something about someone else without the intentions of getting constructive advice? Is there any of that going behind closed doors? Because if it is, you're preventing yourself from having a close friendship. Someone needs to entrust themselves to you and know totally that what it is they say to you can be entrusted to you. Amen? Number three. We're doing great here. You guys ready? Number three. Intimate friendships require the freedom to be self. You know, when you got a close friend like this, you don't need to explain what you're doing. You just do it. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 41, basically, David gets down on his knees, does it three times, and weeps like crazy. And Jonathan was like, he didn't say, get up, what are you doing? He just let him do it. It's awesome. Deep relationships, guys. There are going to be things that we do around one another. Deep relationships are like, that's just you. I love you. With a broken heart, you can bleed all over a friend and they'll understand. It won't confront you in your misery. It'll just be there supporting you, letting you weep and weeping beside you. A great friend allows you to be the freedom to be yourself. You can be yourself no matter what yourself looks like. Amen? Brielle's going to come up and share about not just holding each other tight, but holding each other tighter. Go ahead, Brianna.
Come on, Brianna. Come on, Brianna.
Cool. Well, yeah, like how Matt said, I love everything that Matt's been saying about holding each other tight, and I think, I don't know, I'm a people person, and I definitely need humans in my life. And so I think there's like this like normal amount of like peopleness that we need and support that we need like in everyday things, but then like there are just some times in our life where we just really need to be held a little tighter, and we just need a little extra support. And I know that's true for me, and I'm sure for a lot of the women in here too, and probably some of the guys too, but I don't want to share about me. I want to share about my best friend, Jessica. She's not feeling good. I think she left, but she knows what I'm going to share. I told her already anyway. But so I think like just when I was thinking back on like what I know about being a friend, like Jessica is just the best friend to me like that I could ever imagine. And like when I think back to like times in my spiritual walk where I just really needed to be held a little tighter, like she just was the one that just was always there for me. You know, our relationship with God, just like any other relationship, has like those high points, but it also has low points. Yes. And it's like naive and unrealistic for us to expect never to experience those low points. Right. And I also think it's unrealistic for us to expect to get through them like without the help of our sisters. Yeah. And so I think my lowest point spiritually was my senior year of high school. And I'm sure I've shared with a bunch of you this already, but I became a Christian going into my senior year, and that summer was awesome. The beginning of the year was awesome. Felt close to God. Everything was great, but then just high school kind of sucks. And so, like, I just think it's a little soul draining. And yeah, and I just cared way too much about what people thought about me and just got really sucked in and really just grew apathetic in my walk with God. I wasn't having quiet times. I wasn't spending time with Him. I slowly stopped going to like the teen events, the midweeks, all that stuff. And it just kind of seemed like nobody really noticed. And I didn't even really notice all that much, because it wasn't like conscious, I don't want to do this anymore. It was just like an apathy, and I don't really care that much. And I think it would have been like so easy for me just to slide under the radar. But Jessica just would not let that happen, you know? And I remember it got to a point where I was like with this like non-Christian guy, which is just a mistake, and I wasn't he knows the story, whatever. But it's like in my head, like officially I wasn't, because I was a Christian and Christians aren't with non-Christian people. And so I just was so like denying that anything was going on here. And one time I was talking to Jessica about it, and she just like saw straight through me, like just because she knew me. And how I was so like, whatever, this isn't a big deal. Like, Jessica freaked out and corrected the snot out of me. And like, I remember we were driving somewhere and she started doing it. And I like, just that part where Matt was talking about being willing to sacrifice for each other, like Jessica did so much for me, because I like literally like was yelling. Like, and I don't really yell that much. Most of you guys have probably never even heard me yell, so it doesn't happen. But I was freaking out, like, how can you say that to me? Like, who, like, we don't even know what you're talking about, and just terrible. And it lasted for a couple minutes, and then I just started crying because she was so right, and I didn't want her to be. But just like, when I just think back on it, like, I just don't know what would have happened, like, if she didn't see through me, because I just was so like, ugh, like, whatever. And like, God could have moved in my heart in another way, like, but He didn't. Like, He used Jessica. And so if I just didn't have this person with me that just could literally see through me, I don't know what would have happened. And I don't like to think about that, but yeah. So I just think like, that's like kind of my story and of how I can see how, like, I just really did. That was just a time where I needed to be held so much tighter, and, you know, and it's been flipped, and there's been times where it's been the other way, but I just really want to encourage you guys to think about like who is your Jessica? Like, who is your person that like can just see through you like that? Who is not going to be afraid to tell you the truth when you need it, and like that sister, and like, it doesn't just happen out of nowhere, but like we really need it. And that's what I want to encourage you guys to think about is, like, you will reach a point where you need someone. And you might feel great and dandy right now, like, but it won't forever. Like, not because you're a crappy Christian, but because you're a human being. Like, and so you just don't do great all the time. And so, like, if you don't, like, if I said that and you weren't like, oh, like, this person, like, really think about who that can be. And start building that. Because, like, I mean, I've known Jessica since fourth grade. And so it wasn't just, like, one day she just knew how to see through me. Like, it was T-I-M-E, you know? That's how that builds. And just start doing that. All these things that Matt's been sharing, like, start doing it, like, because you're going to need it. And I just would never want, like, you guys are my sisters and I love you. And, like, I just would never want you to get to that point and then just feel alone, just because that's the worst feeling. And so that side of it, but then I also would encourage you to think about who you are, Jessica, too, you know? And to really look for opportunities where we really, for sisters who need to be held a little tighter. Because like me, I was not just wearing it on my face. Like, I wasn't like, help, please, right now. I need it. Like, I wasn't acting like that, but I really needed it. And so, like, if we're not looking out for each other, like, no one is going to. There's no one else that can hold each other tighter than we can. And so, yeah, I think we can, I can definitely see a need, but just, oh, well, someone else is gonna help her. I don't really know her like that, or someone can help her better and just back off. But I really just, like, we just need to go for it. We just need to be there for each other and hold each other as tight as we can every time we get the chance. So.
Whoa. Okay. So, Brielle's so right. And that's for the guys, too. We got a whole one other tighter. You know, it's really easy when somebody becomes a hot mess like I've been, like you've been. When you become a hot mess, you become a hot mess, and messes are hard to deal with. And the temptation is, I don't have time for that. I have full classes, and I've got this, and I got car problems. I don't have time for you. But the truth is that great friendships hold one another tighter, even in the hardest of moments. And we need that one another. Amen? All right, here we go. We'll put this thing into landing soon. Last point I'll say about intimate friendships, deep friendships, is that deep friendships are a constant source of encouragement. A constant source of encouragement. Saul wanted to kill David, and while Saul's out on a mission to go kill David, Jonathan finds out through somehow, Saul didn't know, Jonathan finds out somehow exactly where David is. Saul's trying to go kill him, his dad, but Jonathan goes and finds David and weeps and encourages him. Could you imagine doing that? But that was the nature of their relationship. Was Jonathan just encouraged David all of the time? Are you a well of encouragement? Do people come to you and do they walk away feeling built up or busted down? In Ephesians 4:29, if you don't know this passage and you're somebody who jokes a little too much and hurts people, you need to memorize this passage tonight. Do not, Ephesians 4:29, do not let any, don't let any of that unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. But some. No, I'm sorry. A little. No, I'm sorry. Only. Say that with me. Only. But only what is useful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What's coming out of your mouth? What do you allow out of your mouth in your relationships? So joking is fun, and joking is necessary. And sometimes we need to Christian, you know, what do they call it? Christian roast one another. We need to, like, you know, like, wrestle one another. That helps. But the truth is that our relationships should always, because only what's supposed to come out of our mouth is useful for building one another up. That should be the only thing coming out of your mouth. And so with your relationships with the guys and the girls in your life, what are you projecting? What are you putting out? So brothers and sisters, our need of the hour and our need in the campus ministry is to have great relationships. In our 4 years, 5 years, some of you 10 years of campus ministry, you know, we're going to look back at that and we're really going to have the time of our lives based on the friendships that we have and the memories we make together. Are you willing and are you going to decide tonight that together we are going to run to the fight? And when you're running to the fight, are you willing and are you going to hold one another tight? Amen.